White House said that Biden told Netanyahu that he told him that, in fact, he expected a significant de-escalation today on the path to a ceasefire. Well, let's talk about that to our good friend from Israel. He stands by, David Rubin. David, hi. Good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Yes. Hello, Pat. Yes, I'm happy that we were finally able to get on the phone.
Yeah, glad we got that hooked up.
I know you were trying to reach me, but everyone is calling Israel.
I know.
Trying to find out what's going on, so I guess the phone lines.
Yeah, that's why I've been wanting to talk to you, because if anybody's going to give us the straight scoop here, David Rubin, it's going to be you. We had on a tarmac in Michigan yesterday Representative Tlaib, who is a Muslim representative from Michigan, and basically got in the face of President Biden and said, you need to stop this sycophantic kissing up to Netanyahu and Israel. You need to stop doing that. You need to stand with Palestine. And almost on cue, the president goes back and he has a phone call with Netanyahu and basically says, you need to get this ceasefire done. So are entities other? I mean, this is not the way it was under President Trump.
No, it certainly wasn't. And it's an entirely different situation from, you know, we could start right from the beginning, which is that 2 years into the Trump administration, President Trump said, that's it. No more financial aid for the Palestinians until they stop supporting terrorism.
Right.
And they were, you know, they've been giving monthly salaries to every single terrorist that kills or wounds a Jew. And in fact, the Arab terrorists, the three Arab terrorists who attacked my son and me, my three-year-old son, and as you know, I was wounded. I was wounded in the leg. My son was shot in the head when he was 3 years old. Those terrorists are in jail. But they have been receiving monthly salaries through their families ever since they committed that terrorist attack. And Trump said no. He said, no more. I'm not going to give you financial aid until you stop giving your financial aid to the terrorists. And Biden came into office 2 months later. He totally restored the financial aid. He restored $300 million in financial aid to the Palestinians. He did not attach any conditions to it, totally unconditional. And they took the message loud and clear. And they decided, okay, we have a green light. We're going to go ahead and we are going to start attacking Israel again, full force, from all sides, attacking civilians in the streets, burning synagogues, torching hundreds of cars, and of course, launching 3,000 rocket attacks on Israel.
Well, and that with this restoring the money there for all of that from our country, and then with the Biden administration saying we're going to go back to the Iranian nuclear deal and we'll do all of that at that point in time, if I'm an Arab, if I'm Hamas, if I'm a terrorist, why wouldn't I think now's the perfect time to go after Israel? Their best friend in the world is obviously now not their best friend in the world.
That's right. And the message is very clear, very clear. And, you know, we're here in the Middle East. We're in a very tough neighborhood. And we're in a neighborhood where, unfortunately, a lot of radicals hold sway. And, you know, all the Muslim radicals, Palestinian radicals that I wrote about in my book, Confronting Radicals, What Israel Can Learn from America, all of those radicals have been a model, a role model for the radical left in America. You know, when I saw the riots in America and I see people throwing Molotov cocktails at businesses and at police officers, you know, those are the homemade firebombs that we've known too well in Israel for decades. And then I see them piling up bricks on street corners in New York City, and those bricks were meant to smash store windows and to throw them at the police officers and at government buildings. That's straight out of the Palestinian playbook. And I said that's enough. You know, I've seen the similarities are too great, and I have to write about it. And that's how confronting radicals, what America can learn from Israel, came to be.
Well, and it would sound like our president would perhaps do himself well if he also read the book, or at least studied history a little bit, to see how it is that Israel has taken a stand against those that would come against them. I'm just amazed that, again, when it hadn't happened for almost a decade, the rockets start flying into Israel 10 days ago. Here in our country, as the president sits there almost mute, acting like maybe if he just hides in the Oval Office, everything will go away. And then Democrats across the country do what Democrats across do, and that is they immediately out of the box started blaming Israel for everything going on. It is beside me how it is that that could even be the scenario.
Unfortunately, it is. You know, it's very sad, Pat, when you see the shift in the Democrat Party, which has become a party of the radical left. And it doesn't mean that everyone in the party is a radical leftist. We see it in the ambivalence of Joe Biden and some other members, you know, formerly moderate members of the party, who mm-hmm. are really befuddled. They don't know what to say. On one hand, they say Israel has a right to defend itself. On the other hand, they say that both sides need to show calm. Let's look back and see how this whole thing started. You know, we had Jerusalem Day. We had dancing and singing in the streets on Jerusalem Day when we celebrated the reunification of Jerusalem, the 54th anniversary of that reunification.
Right.
And then the missiles started flying. And they haven't stopped flying since then. There were a couple of hundred missiles fired today. There were direct hits on homes. People were killed. People were wounded. And they're still rioting in the streets in some of the cities of Israel, right in the heart of the country. So this is not a game. And fortunately, it looks like we're not going to be playing that game. And the prime minister politely said no when Biden insisted on a ceasefire. And I'm hopeful that it's just going to continue that way, because the only way we're going to stop this is not if we get Hamas to agree to stop firing rockets. It's going to stop when we make sure that Hamas is no longer capable of firing rockets. And then they will start waving those white flags of surrender. Then I will say, okay, we can have a ceasefire and we can dictate the terms of surrender.
Well, when you had the Abraham Accords that were brokered between Benjamin Netanyahu and President Trump, who, although Trump wasn't over there sitting at the table, was when things were signed, I think his fingerprints were all over it. I'm sorry?
They were all over it, and he deserves all the credit for it.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you somebody else that I think right now deserves some credit are those nations that signed that accord with Israel, and they're not jumping into the fray here with Hamas, but what makes you frightened is there probably are some elements in their country that would like for that to happen.
Oh, certainly. Look, they're in a difficult position, but to their credit, those four countries that signed the peace agreements with Israel have been sitting quietly and just watching the action. I have not heard any statements by them. It's probably a wise move. And it just proves the validity and the greatness of those peace agreements, because what those peace agreements said is that the radical Palestinians, those radical elements of the Arabs who live in the land of Israel, cannot dictate to the other Arab countries whether they can make peace with Israel. And they did so based on their own interests, which is the right thing to do and the normal thing to do that countries do.
Sure.
And hopefully those agreements will stand the test of time.
Well, and we hope they will. There's a lot that could be learned from what's happening there, and obviously a lot that could be learned from your new book that speaks. I mean, you know, we had, you know, Trump and the Jews and everything that that we learned about the relationship of our country to your country. But what America can learn from Israel in the midst of all this, that new book is amazing. And what we're going to do is I'm going to make sure that on my site that we promote it again, Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. And I know that they can get it through Amazon and Barnes and Nobles and all the big books, but they need to get the book. I'm thinking about buying two, David, one that I can have here in my library and the other one that I can send to the president, and maybe he could learn a little bit. Do you think that might be worth it?
I would hope so. I would hope that he would be open to it.
Yeah, I would hope so, too. Listen, I know things are hectic there right now. I know that as you're talking to me, rockets are flying, and I understand all that, and I know the world is ringing your phone and everybody else in Israel. David Rubin, stay safe. Stay true to the cause. Know that you have friends here in our country, and I think certainly you know that here in Northeast Indiana and Northwest Ohio, you certainly have friends here in and around WoWo Radio. But I strongly encourage people to get the book, Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. And I'm hoping maybe to talk to you again next week, and maybe the active rocketing will be done. No promise of that, but let's hope things start dying down here pretty soon.
Well, I'd be happy to give you a genuine update, which unfortunately you're not going to get from the mainstream media.
Well, that's why I call you, because I could call CNN, but I don't like little white lies. So there you go. David Rubin from Shiloh, Israel. David, thank you so very, very much again for being with us. I look forward to a conversation very soon.
You're welcome, Pat. We'll be in touch.
Thank you very much.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.